be someplace where there's preaching. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this year. Thank you, Brother Tidd, for the invitation to come. Thank you for that. Thank you for that introduction. I think. Being from Oklahoma, I understand all them redneck jokes, believe it or not. I guess soon I will begin to understand the pastor jokes. I think maybe, hopefully, I will. This has already been a wonderful meeting, hasn't it? And it's very evident that a lot of work and preparation has gone into it. This isn't something that just happened overnight. You can tell that by all the wonderful things that have been given to us already, and then all the preparation, and the meal last night was just wonderful. And so we appreciate all the work that's gone into that. And very, very thankful to even be here with you this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 29. We are looking forward to next year at the same time, trying to keep very focused on what the Lord has for us to do this year, because He could be coming back. Just any time. And so we want to be found faithful doing what He has us doing right now. And I do look forward. I'm very thankful that the Lord has allowed me the opportunity to pastor as that time comes to pass. I'm thankful that He would even think for a second that I was worthy to do that. But I have to stay focused on what I'm doing right now. And it's been a very, very hard thing. And I appreciate your prayers to continue to try to do what the Lord has us to do and have a vision for the church up in St. Joseph, Missouri. And what a wonderful place. And if you've never been there, come January, you're all invited. Amen. Just come on up. It doesn't matter. Pass them through. We'll take care of you. We'll sure do that. Psalm chapter 29, are you there? Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, please. In honor of His Word, I appreciate you doing that with me here this morning. It's good to come to meetings like this. A lot of friends, people you don't get to see very often. And I enjoy being around a group of men that believe the Bible. And I know that it's good, isn't it, when you know you're amongst friends and you know that what you believe is what they believe. And thank God for these missionaries. It just touches my heart that God continues to call people. And the stories, the testimonies of how God puts all these things together. And folks would listen to that. Some folks would listen to that and say, oh, wow, what a coincidence. Yeah. We know it wasn't any coincidence at all. I'm very, very thankful for what we've already experienced here. Psalm chapter 29, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Given to the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. And the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds the calf, and discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth every one speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. If you'll leave your Bible open there, we're going to look at this portion of Scripture this morning for a while. With, I think, what is very evident here, just simply entitled this message, God's Voice. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for being who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you care about this lost and dying world. You care about us that are trying to minister to this world. You called us to this position. And Father, a time to get away, such as this time, to gather together and encourage one another and preach to one another. We're so very thankful. It's like a drink of cool water, time of refreshing. And that's certainly what we need for these next few days. And I pray that you'd continue to empower each and every speaker as they get up here. And Lord, that you'd give us, Lord, exactly what we need to take back home with us. We pray you'd bless the reading of your word now and the preaching to follow. We pray that you'd illuminate it and make it very clear. We pray, dear God, that you'd fill us with your power, as we've asked many times already. And just use us this morning. Give us clarity of mind and speech. Father, that your perfect will might be done. Thank you so much for the word. We pray now that you'll work, and we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. I love the book of Psalms. It's just a wonderful place of encouragement. You can go to that any time and just begin to read anywhere you want to read, and read through and start all over again and read through, and it just continues to encourage you over and over and over. And many of these different psalms were written in light of different things. Psalm 8 If we went back there, it seems to be written under the moon and the stars. We go to Psalm 19, it seems to be written in the light of the rising sun. And so this wonderful psalm brings out the suggestion of a great storm. And of course, each one magnifies God's wonderful grace and mercy and love and power. And I understand very well that there's only one interpretation to the Scripture. We hear people say, well, you know, that's just your interpretation. Nope, just one interpretation. But there's many, many applications to the Scripture. And if you'll bear with me this morning, I want to try to make an application to this Scripture. This 29th Psalm seems to highlight two things. First off, it highlights the Lord Jehovah God Himself. We see in verse after verse after verse after verse how it talks about the Lord, the Almighty God, the existing One, the everlasting Father, the all-powerful, the Creator, the One who is worthy of all honor and glory and praise, God Himself. I'm so thankful for God. I'm so thankful for Him. Then secondly, seven different times it speaks of the voice of the Lord. I went to the Webster's 1828 dictionary and looked up this word voice, and there were several different definitions of the word. The fifth definition of the word gave this, in Scripture, command or precept. We can think of that as word. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, ye would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. We can think about the voice of the Lord over in John chapter 1, verse 19. It says, and this is the record of John, which the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed, John did, and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. They asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Are thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, even as said the prophet Isaiah. So John the Baptist came preaching the word, even as Isaiah, quoting the prophet Isaiah, just a voice. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. And you know, thinking about this, we understand as preachers, we are the voice of the Lord. However, we are only the voice of the Lord as we preach the word of the Lord, or better known as the word of God, the Bible. And I don't have to reiterate that because my pastor, Brother Wayne Hardy, did a very, very good job of that last night. We know that out there are motivational speakers today that call themselves preachers. There are psychologists that call themselves preachers. There are shysters today that call themselves preachers. However, if they are not preaching the Word of God, we have the unequivocal right, I believe we can say, duh, they're not Bible preachers. No, they're preaching their own methods. They're preaching their own thoughts. And I want to look at this passage of Scripture and try to get on through this morning. Hopefully it'll be a help and encouragement to us all. I could not leave out verses 1 and 2 where it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, no doubt worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. So God is very, very worthy of our worship and praise. It is due unto Him. Our worship, our praise is due unto a holy God. Three different times it says, give, give, give. And we know we can't give the Lord anything at all except give Him our life. Let Him do what He will with that. And when it talks about giving, the word there just means to ascribe unto the Lord or lay to the feet of the Lord. You know, we don't have a song service in our churches to give the ones that will be late time to get into the auditorium. Works that way sometimes, but that's not what it's all about. We have a song service to lift up the Lord with great hopes that He will turn aside to meet us. We're singing as unto Him. We're praising Him. It brings us to a place of worship. Give Him glory and strength, and that equals praise. And we do that in song, and we think about these old songs that give Him glory and strength and honor and power and splendor and might and dignity and boldness and reverence and beauty and holiness, and on we could go. And it's pretty hard to do that with contemporary Christian music that simply talks about how good we feel. Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. Amen. We need to praise the Lord in song, lifting Him up in song, wanting to gain His attention as we sing unto Him and bring us to a place of truly worshiping Him. And then verse number 3 says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Well, Brother Marshall, where does the voice of the Lord be heard? The way I see it, everywhere. It's to be heard everywhere. Water sometimes speaks of humanity in the Bible. So everywhere there's humanity, there should be a voice for God. I'm saying every time, every activity we have in our churches, there should be a voice of the Lord. we should take that as a time that we are able to preach the Word of God. If we have fellowship and join together in ice cream fellowship, whatever the case may be, there ought to be some preaching that goes along with that. If we have a time of recreation, and that's a wonderful thing for a church to join together and get together and have a time of recreation, but we should always end that up with a preaching of the Word of God. Where there is food, hallelujah, thank God for food. Where there is food, if we join together and have some type of banquet, we should always end that up with a preaching of the Word of God. Wherever there is a congregation, there should be preaching of this Word. We should take that opportunity to get the Word of the Lord out, get the voice of the Lord out. But Marshall, who is this voice? Look at verse number 7. It says, "The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire." In my Bible reading, sometimes back when the Lord began to deal with me about this passage of Scripture, He really pointed out this verse more than any immediately when I was doing my reading at that time before I began to expand out into it. And He talked about the voice of the Lord dividing the flames of fire. Who's to be the voice of the Lord? Well, those He calls. Those He chooses. As God began to deal with me about going up and pastoring in St. Joseph, Missouri, one of my big arguments each time I would get down was, "Lord, why me? Lord, why me? Lord, why me? Lord, why me? Lord, why me?" And one morning He made it very evident and said, "Excuse me, boy. This isn't about you. It's about me. I'm trying to place you where I want you to be." Amen. He calls men and puts them where He wants them to be as they're willing to follow Him. Hebrews 1:7 says, "And the angels of the angels He saith, who maketh His angel spirits and His ministers a flame of fire." He divideth the flame of fire. I like that. We're to be flames of fire. John Wesley, when asked how he got the big crowds to come, said, "I set myself a fire and they come to watch me burn." I think we should be flames of fire. I don't think we should be some type of a circus act. I don't think that we have to build up anything. I just think we ought to set ourselves on fire with the Word of God, and people would come to watch us burn. They want to see things. When God puts that calling upon our lives, there's a yearning to preach that will not go away. You have to preach. I can remember when I first got called to preach, and I went to my pastor at the time, Brother J.P. Pendergraft, and I said, Brother Pendergraft, God has called me to preach. And he said, "Oh." I thought he'd say, "Hey, next Sunday I want you to come to the pulpit and preach." Thinking maybe he hadn't completely understood what I had told him, I went to him again maybe a few days later and said, "Brother Pendergraft, God has called me to preach." And he said, "Well, you better find some place to preach." That wasn't a bad deal. It was a good deal. Because I had to preach. It was in there. It had to come out. So I went and found me some place to preach. I mean, I went to the nursing homes, I went to the jails, I went to the rescue missions, I went to the street corner. It didn't matter to me. I just had to preach somewhere. It was in there. It had to come out. I'm telling you, when you get that call to preach and you begin to study the Word of God and He begins to give you messages out of here, you just got to get it out. It just has to come out. Yeah. Spurgeon said, when asked by a young man how to be sure of your calling, he said, "If you can do anything else, do it." That's pretty good advice. And some have tried to quit along the way, only to realize that there was nothing else that they could do. You think about Jeremiah, who said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire set up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I'm telling you, you won't be able to keep from preaching if you're called to preach. You have to preach. I feel sorry for men that have disqualified themselves from ministry. And you hear them say things such as this, but you don't understand. I'm still called to preach. I understand. But there are qualifications. And we go by the book. And I think to myself many times over, and even my own prayer time, and as I ponder upon things, "Lord, please, please protect me. Lord, please keep me from doing anything I shouldn't do. Lord, please keep my eyes right and my mind right. Please keep my life right and my speech right, because I can't imagine doing anything that would disqualify me from preaching this book." Never want to be led away from that. Men are called and they're prepared by the Lord. It says here, "He divideth the flames of fire." And I looked up that word "divide," and that word "divideth" seems that it comes from a Hebrew word that means to hew out. And so I looked up that word "hewed" in the old dictionary, and that word "hewed" means, I love this, it says, "cut out and made smooth or even." Now that's pretty good, but then it goes on, it says, "chopped, hacked, shaped by cutting or by a chisel." You know, God chooses all types of instruments to hew us out, doesn't He? To knock off the rough edges. To get us where He wants us to be. I mean, He'll bring about trials and troubles and tribulations. And there have been many. When being hewed out by the Lord, being hewed upon by the Lord, that has realized it really was not their calling. It really wasn't what the Lord wanted them to do. So there has to be that hewing, doesn't there? There has to be that knocking of rough edges. There has to be that time of transformation that God gets us to where He wants us to be. The work that He does in our lives, smoothing off those rough edges, is just so that we'll be a better tool in the hands of the Master. But He has to get rid of those things. He has to get those rough edges off. And all we have to do, like John the Baptist, is to be His voice. Cry out His words. Depend upon Him to do the work that He cannot, as we already heard this morning. Flesh begets flesh, but Spirit begets Spirit. The Word begets life. We take the Word of God. We are a voice for the Lord. We let Him do what He needs to do in our life to get us to a place where He can use us the way that He wants to use us. Isn't it an amazing thing as you go off to Bible college and you feel like you already know everything you need to know? And about your senior year in Bible college, you realize you don't know anything at all. And 3 or 4 or 5 years into the ministry, you realize you really don't know anything at all. Amen. And God continues to you, and He continues to knock off the rough edges and continues to try to get you to where He wants you to be. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the call of God to preach this Word upon our lives will bring us to a place where there's just nothing else that we can do. And it's a wonderful thing, because as we go out to preach the Word, as John the Baptist did, preach the Word of God, as we heard last night, the voice of the Lord, or the Word of the Lord, is everything it needs to be. See, verse number 4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's everything it needs to be. That word powerful means forcible, mighty, strong, having great moral power, forcible to persuade or convince the mind as a powerful reason or argument. And the word majestic means the quality or state of a person or thing which inspires awe or reverence in the beholder, applied with peculiar propriety to God and His words. See, Bible preaching can be smooth and rough at the same time, can't it? It's an amazing thing, the voice of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I like hard Bible preaching. I like it. And I'm not talking about mean-spirited preaching, blood and guts on the ceiling. I'm not talking about, let's see how many people we can offend and skin them and pour salt in their wounds type preaching. No, I'm talking about hard Bible preaching. And good hard Bible preaching done in the Spirit of God can be powerful and majestic. It's a very wonderful thing. It can get the point across very clearly and leave the hearer longing for more. Well, some preacher get out and preach the Word of God and the power of God and preach against everything there is that's wrong in this world, and people walk out saying, that was a wonderful thing, exactly what I needed to hear. Thank God for the Word. I'm telling you, when His Word is preached in His power, it's everything that it needs to be. Everything. And it does the work, too. Look at verse 5. It says, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. It does the work. Listen to this quote by Robert Murray McShane. I love it. It says, these mighty trees of God, which for ages have stood the force of the tempest, rearing their evergreen colossal boughs in a region of everlasting snow, are the first object of the fury of the lightning, which is well known to visit first the highest objects. God's Word does the work. The preaching of the Bible can break the hardest of hearts. I mean, the gospel message preached in the power of God has brought the drunkard and the dopehead and the abuser and the pervert and the brawler and many more to the place of brokenness and repentance and full salvation. The preaching of this book. We do not have to stoop down to the world's level and feel like we have to attract people with worldly attraction to get them to a place where they'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. No, 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 friend. We have to stay true to God and true to His Word and true to His method and just preach the gospel and the power of God and watch Him do the work we can't do. Absolutely so. And He can do it. And we've watched Him do it. And we've experienced it in our own lives. And we know that it's very, very real. It's very, very real. The preaching of the Bible can break the hardest will of those people that sit out there in our congregations like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. We need not to manipulate or use the cunning of men to try to do what only the Word of God can do. Preach the Word. Let it do the work. Because it can do the work. Sure it can. No doubt. Look at verse number 8. It says, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. It'll convict those out in the wilderness. It'll convict those out there where they shouldn't be. It will shake up the backslidden. Have you ever had somebody sitting in your service that you knew was out of the will of God or out in sin, and maybe you didn't even know that they were going to be in the service at that time? I mean, you weren't even sure that they were going to show up, and the Lord had already given you a message for that particular service, but the whole message seemed to be directed right at them. And you can tell they pretty much felt like that too. As they sat there writhing in pain, and walked out and maybe even told other church members, you know, he just preached that right at me. But if we're led by the Lord in our preaching, simply being His voice, He will make sure that those needing to be confronted will be confronted. Even about things we don't know about. It isn't an amazing thing how He exposes us then as we follow Him and preach His Word. He'll do a much better job than we could ever do. Being in touch with Him, listening to Him, going His way. It also helped those in need. Look at verse 6. It says, He makes them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. I'm very glad that Bible preaching can put a skip in our step. Oh, it can help us, can't it? We can come to a meeting even such as this where we just hope to get recharged, we hope to be refilled, and the preaching can do that, put that skip back in our step. It's amazing how a message that will make some people walk out with their heads hanging low and a frown on their face, and the very same message and the very same service will send others on their way with praises of God in their mouth and a spring in their step. It's a wonderful thing the way that God works. Only the Word of God can accomplish such a feat. And by the way, those that left with a frown didn't have to. They could have gotten right with God. They could have left with that spring in their step. They could have been marching out with a song in their heart. I'm telling you, the Word of God will help folks. And it calls a reaction. Look at verse number 9. It says, "The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak his glory." It will cause a reaction. You know, Newton's law of motion, to every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. And I understand that's a physical law, but you think about this. You preach the Word of God. You preach how we're supposed to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And it causes a reaction, doesn't it? It causes people to want to reproduce. It causes people to want to go soul winning. It causes people to want to tell others about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See others saved by the grace of God. Carry the gospel to every creature. It's a wonderful thing how Bible preaching can make others yearn to see more people like them. But not only causes people to want to reproduce, but it says, discovereth the forest. Discovereth the forest. What's that all about? Well, I pondered on that for a while, and feel free to give me any other idea after service that you might want to, but this is what I came up with. It causes people to yearn for more. Because see, that word discover there means to uncover. I don't know how it's been with you. I know that over the years with me, the 23 short years that I've been saved and sitting under the preaching of different men of God all over the place and hearing preaching and messages, it's been a wonderful thing to watch them uncover things I've never seen before. I mean, take a passage of Scripture and you think, man, oh man, oh man, what are they going to do with that? And before you know it, it's like, wow. And that's what it should do for our people as we preach to them. I mean, we should be alone with God and get the message from God and let Him uncover those things in our life. And I know there's nothing new under the sun, and I don't think we ought to just dig for stuff and try to blow other people's mind along the way. But isn't it an amazing thing, even in our own Bible reading time, how God can open up the Word of God and show us things that we've never seen before. And what I've found along the way in my short time of ministry is that if I take those things and ponder upon them and put them down on paper and let God expound unto me and then write it down and bring it to other people, they go, wow. The same way I went. Wow. And as we uncover the things of God that way, it caused people to yearn for more. I mean, the truth of the Word of God in preaching, it makes the hearer long for more. It even calls them to bring others to hear what they are hearing. Man, you got to come and hear what my pastor is preaching. I mean, he's brought out this book like I've never seen it before. He's bringing out things to help me in my life. It's become very applicable unto me. I'm telling you, as we uncover the truth of God's Word and we carry it out there by preaching the Word of God, it will make people yearn for more. It will make them look forward to coming back to the house of God. It will make them look for others that they can bring along with them to hear the things that they are hearing along the way. Should give us great reason to stay in the book and on our faces before God, begging Him, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. The last part of verse number 9 says, in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. And so we see the results in these last three verses here very quickly. Bible preaching will leave everyone talking about our great God. Because this is for His glory. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Not at all. Not even close. It is all about Him. And good Bible preaching will leave everyone talking about our great God. The things that they saw in the Word of God. How it applied to their life. How it changed their life. How it gave them direction. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. The first part of verse 10 says, "The Lord sitteth upon the flood." See, Bible preaching can bring a flood of revival. We live in a day where we don't need a little sprinkle here and there. We need the torrents of the water of the Word of God. We need Him to open up the floodgates of heaven. We need our churches to be stirred in a wonderful, wonderful way. And only God can do that. The latter part of verse number 10 says, "Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever." I don't know about you. This thought thrilled my heart. The Lord is king forever, and the king's messengers carry the word of the king. But Marshall, what are you going to preach? The word. That's all I have. I never was good at telling stories. I never was good at illustrations. All I know to do is just preach the book. It's all that I have. It's all that I need. It's all that the hearers need. It's all this world needs. I'm telling you, the Word of God is very powerful. And it can do things that we cannot do. And in verse number 11, I'm done. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. See, as we carry the Word of the Lord, as we preach the Word of the Lord, as we go out as a voice crying in the wilderness, as we go out doing His will, the Lord will bless His people with strength and peace. And I'm not pastored as of yet, but I've talked to many pastors and known many pastors, and I do have a heart for people, and I'm telling you, I can't think of anything better to give the hearers of the Word than strength of God and the peace of God, that they can live in this world. Because it does take the peace of God to live in this world, doesn't it? It does take the strength of God to live in this world. And the Lord will give strength unto His people. With the strength of God, they'll keep fighting a good fight. With the peace of God, they'll realize it's not their fight. It's the Lord's fight. Even as we heard this morning very well from Brother Joel. Very good. God's Word will still do the work. God's voice is what we need. We just need to be a voice in the wilderness. Give Him all the glory and let Him do all the work. Father, bless Your Word as it was preached, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.